Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Before we get started, well, first of all, let me welcome my friend Stephanie Duke. She's going to tell us about an event that she was privileged to attend yesterday. Good morning, Miss Stephanie. How are you?
Good morning, Lady G, and good morning to your listening audience. I'm doing fantastic over here. We're having a wonderful morning.
Wonderful. Now, before we get started, my ladies, those who are the experts, reach behind your back and unsnap that piece of material that keeps us all bound up, because today is National No Bra Day. I will be joining you in that, but just get comfortable. You know, we're just going to chill and enjoy at least this hour. You know, I mean, I know some of y'all are in situations where that would not necessarily be appropriate, but if you are in a situation where you can just chill at least for the hour of this show, please just, you know, let it go. So, anyway, so Miss Stephanie was privileged yesterday to attend the unveiling of the Mary McLeod Bethune statue in Daytona Beach. And give us a little insight. Tell us about the day. How was it?
It was absolutely amazing to participate and have a, by being there, what I mean, participate in the unveiling of the statue that would go into Statuary Hall that would not only represent a education, but it will represent the first African-American and the first African-American woman to have a statue representing a state in the U.S. Capitol Statuary Hall. So that was like mind-blowing right there.
Yes, and glad that Florida could take the lead in that. That is just wonderful. So you said it was a lot of speakers and festivities going on yesterday?
Yes, it actually occurred on Monday. We were in Daytona Beach on Monday. They brought the statue in last week. There was a ceremonial parade, unofficial parade coming down the boulevard to actually arrive it at the Daytona Beach News Journal Center. And, you know, the other part of what was so significant about this movement was the fact that not only, you know, those honors that I just mentioned, but the significance of who she's replacing to show how not only we've moved down the boulevard, but to show that she is replacing a Confederate general who was short of being called, well, a traitor. He was part of he defected from the U.S. government. Kirby Smith. And she's actually replacing someone who took up arms against the United States during the Civil War. And then after the South lost the war, he fled the country. He left the country, and there had to be a negotiation had to be reached to be able for him to come back in the United States not to press charges and sanction him. So she represented that movement of how we have come down the road to greatness, although we are not great, but a little bit further down the road to greatness. And the symbols that the speakers talked about, that's what they detailed. They talked about that journey, how this process in realizing how it, many people had to write in and say that that statute needs to be changed, that Kirby Smith not only did not represent Florida as a, you know, a native of Florida, he had very small time here, but not only that, but that it was not appropriate anymore to celebrate someone who was upholding and to keep people down, upholding those kind of values. So they talked about how that was a long four-year fight, how the process worked, and citizens of Florida rising to the occasion. And in the beginning, I think when they finally, Florida finally decided, okay, we're going to take the Confederate general out. And this was long before, you know, we had this uprising of the Confederate monuments. Florida had already begun to take the lead to remove a Confederate statue from the U.S. Capitol. So when once Florida said, yes, okay, we will establish a commission to deal with this, there was over 200 and I believe 256 names that was submitted through public comment. And they talked about that process. And then that was narrowed down to approximately 130 people who actually met the qualifications, from 259 unique names down to 130. And then how they worked that down to the final four. And one of the other African-American on the list was Welton, James Welton Johnson, for Lift Every Voice and Sing, which, of course, at the ceremony, that was sung by the Daytona Beach Chorale, I mean, the Bethune-Cookman Chorale. So that was, and their rendition was just out of this world. So that was, you know, the speakers took us through that process. The other person who was on that list was George Jenkins, the founder of Publix. And as most of us know, that George Jenkins was responsible for treating Americans with economic power who were employed through Publix, that there's a lot of employees who have retired from Publix and retired as millionaires because of his profit sharing that he instituted during his time there with his employees. So that was very, you know, was really wondering neck to neck for a lot of people who wanted to figure out which one they were going to support, Mary McLeod Bethune or George Jenkins, who also had a contribution in the African-American community. So, but Mary McLeod Bethune won out that debate. And it was just awesome, awesome. When you see, let me let you ask another question before I go on and on.
No, you can continue. The thing that I just found interesting when you talked about George Jenkins of Publix, there's, I guess, a little bit of controversy, too, associated with him. I mean, mm-hmm. I appreciate what you say, but also Publix, and I don't know, maybe it's since his legacy with I guess you could say employee share, because my father even worked there part time at Publix after retirement, you know, and was involved in the dividend program in a small way. But you know, there have been some, you know, discrimination accusations mm-hmm. leveled at the company, and so it's interesting to hear though that, you know, at the same time he was I guess you could say a benefactor in a way in terms of encouraging, you know, minority community wealth So anyway,
and that was
yeah,
kind of the debate that came up with. That was part of the debate as we, you know, the African American community began to talk about it and began to weigh the different things. So what would this really represent overall? Could the a person, those who was talking for George Jenkins and those who was supporting Mary McLeod Bethune? As we had that talk, we talked about all of those things within the community, and that's why Mary won out, because she had a more sound balance. And that's why when I said that, I said he contributed to our economic development in that area, because there were other areas of weaknesses. And that is one of the most beautiful things about when you look at Mary McLeod Bethune's Mary McLeod Bethune statue, because changed and said doctor because that is what the statue depicts her in, her doctoral, you know, now that I go back and think about it, that hat was not the standard doctoral hat we use now, but probably the one they used back then. But it shows her in her cap and gown. And the most in this beautiful piece of marble that is the last piece of marble from Italy that came out of the same cave that Michelangelo extracted marble from to do the Statue of David. And this was the very last piece of the uniqueness of this marble, which is considered to be the most highest honor you can bestow upon a person in the artistic world, is to have their your likeness made out of marble. That is the very finest of stones for that. That this stone is like crystals, that when light hits it, it's almost when the lights came through that window, the sunlight, it lit up this piece that almost like the light was coming from the inside of it, because it is such a tight piece of stone that it was so beautiful. But the artist, which was Nilda Comis, who an Italian, she's Spanish and Italian, she has dual citizenship, which helped to acquire this piece of stone. She has Mary McLeod Bethune, Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune, holding a black velvet rose. And so you have this white stone, marble stone, of an African-American woman, and she's holding a black rose. And if you would allow me to, I'd like to read what Mary McLeod Bethune said about this black rose. She said,
I was curious about that.
Go ahead. It's entitled A Rose by Any Other Name.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw a garden so beautiful, roses of all colors. And in the midst of the garden, I saw a giant black velvet rose. I never saw a black velvet rose before. And I said to myself, oh, this is a great interracial garden. This is the garden where we have people of all colors, all classes, all creeds. People, every single one of them, getting their full chance to become the best they can be. This shall always be before me as a great interracial garden where men and women of all tongues, all nations, all creeds, all classes blend together, helping to send out sunshine and love and peace and brotherhood that makes a better world in which to live. And this was what she said, end of quote, this is what she said based on seeing a true garden. And one of the speakers said it was in Switzerland that she saw this garden. But when I researched the true, you know, where do black roses grow, there was a region in Italy where they grow also. But it was very, very unique that she actually, this was really real and true, that she saw a garden with black roses. It wasn't a metaphor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Black Roses, I've seen them. They are definitely just very beautiful, very very set apart from others, you know. And so,
yes, as a matter of fact, the sculpture was presented with a dozen of Black Roses that they had imported from the region where they grew. Nilda was given that. So it was awesome, just really, really awesome. I encourage everyone to go online, and please, please go online, get a ticket, because they do only allow so many people to come in at a time. The MC for the program was Nancy Lohman, who owns Lohman's Funeral Homes here in Daytona Beach. They were one of the sponsors, along with, I think it was Blue Cross Blue Shield, so that this exhibit can be free to everyone. But you do have to go online, get a ticket, Eventbrite. You can get a ticket at Eventbrite. And there's one other place I was looking that you can also go online and get a ticket, because they only have, they're limiting so many during different time periods because of the COVID protocol, and as well as how many people they want to actually come through and visit the statue at a time. You can't touch the statue because, you know, your handprints, the oil, and
right.
all of that.
Right. I was going to say, don't
please,
go in there trying to get close.
No, they are probably going to even have it roped off that you
it
can probably
be.
Only get so close, yes.
Yeah.
Because
and even they still need to
have
somebody standing by, as you know, people.
They
will,
did have
will.
A guard. Mm-hmm. They did have a guard there, and the sculpture, you know, was telling, giving the lessons on why it was important for the guard to be there so that the statue was not touched in such a way. And, you know, I guess for liability purposes also.
Mm-hmm.
So it, but please, please, if go visit. There was so much meaning when you look at that. Probably after we take a break, I'd like to tell everyone about the cane she has in her hand.
Okay. Well, we will go ahead and do that. We are here with my friend Stephanie Dukes, who was able to attend the unveiling of the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune statue yesterday. In Daytona Beach. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar, or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with Stephanie Dukes, who had a chance to go to the unveiling of the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune statue yesterday in Daytona Beach. So now I was looking up Nilda Comas, and I see that I guess there's a bronze statue
mm-hmm.
as well as the white marble. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. They talked about the bronze statue also. Because she was one, I think the contest started out with something like 1,600 participants who actually had submitted to be the sculptor for this. But she was the only one who could sculpture in both marble and bronze. So not only did she do the marble, but she turned around and said, I'm going to do both. So, and the bronze statue, which is the same details as the marble statue, will be displayed here and will remain here in Florida. Yet there's a park on the Riverfront Park in Daytona Beach is where that statue will be displayed, because there is a statue of Mary McLeod Bethune that sits on BCU's campus, a very beautiful large statue that's there. But this, the bronze, will be featured at the Riverfront.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm glad you were able to tell us about that. Now, you said there was something special about Cain that is depicted with Dr. Bethune.
Yes, the statue, not only does it feature her in the cap and gown because it symbolizes her long-term commitment to education, her symbolism of Bethune-Cookman, it was college then that has now returned, been accredited as Bethune-Cookman University, but there's a walking stick that she is holding, a walking stick, and that walking stick was a gift, it depicts the walking stick that was a gift from President Franklin D. Roosevelt. And it signifies the relationship that she cultivated with the U.S. president, not just him, but those who followed after him, who relied on her. And that's kind of what the stick's about, you know, leaning on, who leaned on her for information and how to relate to the African-American community and how much respect they had for her, and wanted to make sure that she advanced her agenda for the African-American, particularly women, for social justice. So that's what the walking stick that's a part of it symbolizes. Then you have to be careful that you don't miss what's on the rear side of the statue, because there's a stack of books, and you'll miss it if you don't really, really pay attention to it. Each book is sculptured with a different part of her last will and testament that spoke to her core values. So the books there highlight what it takes for that she promoted healthy, vibrant, and thriving communities. They had love and they had hope on it, the thirst for knowledge. So make sure when you go through that you really pay attention to exactly the books that are on the rear, because you will miss it if you're not paying attention. And her facial expression, there was something I asked the sculpture about the facial expression, because if you look straight at it, standing in the front of the statue, you will miss it. She has her head tilted slightly to the side and tilted a little down so that she can It looked like she was just peeping into the soul to say that, and this is what one of the things the artist said about that expression. She said, I needed to capture that she was gentle but yet determined,
mm-hmm.
that she was intentional but yet firm. She was eloquent and kind, and that smile truly captured all that. I was like, oh my God, did it not?
Mm-hmm.
So that's
a little
what. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
That I was finished. I was just going to say that's what the symbols on the statue represent.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about the audience. Can you tell me about the numbers, the demographics, young people, old people? Can you tell me, who was present? for this?
Oh, yes, yes. The audience was from, it was the unveiling, and because of limited space, it was a, you know, a low-key publicized event, invitations, and there were those who helped to make the project, as I say, 4 years. And this was a project that was not funded by the Florida legislature. They said, okay, we will approve removing Kirby Smith. You can put Mary McLeod Bethune there, but we're not going to give you any money to do it. So it took the efforts of a lot of people to go out and raise the money for this complete project from beginning to end. And most of those major donors were there. They had donors with $50,000 who had given $50,000 and above, such as Nancy and her husband Laurel Lohman, who had, you know, contributed a significant amount of money. Brown and Brown, Florida Blue, all the way down to those who had given $25 to $30 to make it happen. So, and those were the range of people you had in that room, were your big contributors, those who had contributed maybe not money, but manpower hours that equated to great money in the different areas they had contributed, Mary McLeod Bethune's family. And, I have a picture of that appeared in Essence of the family, and they had several of them there. And then their children's children, generations, were there. And then there was just the average person, members of the National Council of Negro Women, which was an organization of organizations that she put together to show the president that when she went to sit down to talk about women's issues that she could boldly say, I have hundreds of thousands of black women behind me that I represent and that I can mobilize at any moment. And that carried a lot of weight. So those organizations, members of those organizations of organizations that belong to the National Council of Negro Women were present there. I'll send you a picture to post with that group, which I am a member of the National Council and a past national officer of the National Elections Committee for that group. And then there were just, like I say, the average person to, even if you had gotten $25 and you given $25, it was an invitation event, like I say, that you could show up and participate. So it was just absolutely fantastic. So like I say, and it was so many people, the main floor was full, and they had an overflow room upstairs, and there was this theater where they then could view it on a large theater screen upstairs for where they had an overflow. The News Journal Center is a beautiful center, and where they have it located, you can look right out onto the water. It was just beautiful. It was just beautiful, just a beautiful place. And everyone that was there was just absolutely amazing. Now, when we talk about the contributors, it was a nice balance of kind of like I would say her garden when she talked about the garden of the roses. It was mm-hmm. a very colorful audience. Mm-hmm. And so it really represented and showed the people that she touched, the how she went from Bethune Cookman, from having a building that they gave her, the land that was a formal dumping grounds, to build the school after she just really went after, you know, was persistent to, they said, okay, this is where we dump the garbage at, so you can just have this garbage dump land. And she took it, made it into a world-renowned university. and how she went from there to the White House, becoming the friend to President Roosevelt's wife, and then going on to advise him, becoming the National Director of the Youth Administration, and really advance the causes. So the audience did represent all of the people from different races she had touched, members of Bethune-Cookman College, U.S. representatives from that area, as well as the representatives of the state legislature was there.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a quick break. We are here with Stephanie Dukes, my friend, who was able to attend the unveiling of the Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune statue yesterday in Daytona Beach. If you have questions or you want to comment, if you happen to have been there and you want to share, the number is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Hi, I'm Tim Garris. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the Arklatex. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight, on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chillin'?
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs. Dedicated to serving our families.
Afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with my friend Stephanie Dukes, who was one of the attendees for the unveiling of the new Dr. Mary McLeod Bethune statue in Daytona Beach. And did they talk a little bit about what was going to happen with the other statue? Do you know? And I guess what's going – and I guess also, too, I have concerns, and I hate to be the negative person, but I do have concerns about the statue going forward in terms of security, in terms of possible vandalization and whatnot.
Oh, yes. The statue is guarded. That's one of the reasons they wanted to make sure where it was going to be displayed, that security could be provided for it. So yes, all of those measures have been looked at and planned for, as well as, you know, by bringing it here to make it accessible for Floridians who could not make the journey to Washington, D.C. to be able to see it, to have it where it would be available, but also in limiting the number of people by the number of days, they could also do crowd control for that, just that reason that you just mentioned, Gretchen, along with the COVID-19, but to make sure that we don't have a group come through and purposely plan to destroyed in any kind of way, as well as to be careful with it, because it now is only going to be on display here for 60 days. Mm-hmm. And that would take us to, I think it's like December the 11th, 10th or 11th, but check online. Mm-hmm. And then it has to be carefully dissembled and placed back into the crate again, and then shipped to Washington for the architect of the U.S. Capitol to receive it, inspect it to make sure that, you know, everything's okay with it, and then set the unveiling ceremony for Washington. So But yes, a lot of that was taken into because we realized everyone did not love it. Some of them, there's a group of people out there who are displeased that the fact that Kirby Smith's statue was removed and may decide to be revengeful. So yes, those measures were all, you know, you hate to talk about them, but we have to be realistic that's something that could occur. And so let's put some factors in place to deal with that. So yes, the committee did look at those things.
Okay, good. I mean, because yeah, that has been a source of nervousness for me with regard to this whole thing, because I just, unfortunately, these days it doesn't seem like it takes much to bring out the negativeness in human beings these days, and I'll just put it as negativeness because there's all sorts of adjectives that I could associate with that, but I'll just say negativeness.
Right.
You know, so
that is so true. You know, one of the things that, and you and I can relate to this because of the before the statue left Italy, it was.
Mm-hmm.
It had a ceremony there known as the blessing ceremony that it blessed in not only the work of art, but the intent of the heart of all people to recognize accomplishments. Because one of the things, you know, we don't believe in as spiritual Christian people, we know that we are not supposed to worship idols. So
right.
Was not to worship the idol as much as like we wear our cross around our necks as the pictures that we have of Christ, that we symbolize the idea that she embodied education. She embodied treating people like human beings, like the base of the statue, which was designed by Nilda's brother, Alberto, who was an architect, because the base had to qualify with certain measurements for to be placed at the U.S. Capitol. And by her brother being an architect, he knew exactly how and what that needed to be with. But at the base of the statue are the words, invest in the human soul who knows it might be a diamond in the rough. So it is not about immortalizing her as much as it was about the ideas that she represented, education, human social justice, the treatment of women, of all colors of women, as equal pay. Those things that she embodied, love, hope, happiness, learning to live and just accept people for who they are, don't criticize them. We learn who they are, learn how that person fits or don't fit into our lives. That doesn't make them a bad person. You're just not a good fit for my life, okay? But don't do any harm to anyone either. And if you can't help someone, then leave them alone. Let them go about their business. By the same token, on both sides. So that's what that blessing ceremony was all about: being able to make sure that people gather the right spirit from it, as well as that peace to be protected, so that it would make its journey to speak to people on those levels.
I'm just glad you got a chance to go there and witness for us and you know, bring back your experience because, like you said, it was a limited crowd that could participate, but it's nevertheless it's important to all of us. So I'm glad you were able to go and share. Was there anything else that really captured your attention with regards to this whole ceremony?
The awe, the reflection of the number of people that came together to raise more than $800,000
mm-hmm.
for this project, and to know the meekness of the people in the room, and as I looked upon their faces, and such joy, such proud. One of the things that one of the programs they gave us was called the Pride of Florida. And you saw that reflected in those who were there, the joy that was on their face. It was just like, you know how silence speaks volumes?
Mm-hmm.
It was like that. Their voices of silence were speaking volumes through the smiles, through the eyes just lighting up. Because this has been a very long four-year journey. This started
mm-hmm.
back in 2016 that the process started, and there were so many hills and valleys with the legislatures, and, you know, it took more than one legislative session to go through this, as well as to finally, you know, Rick Scott did not move the letter off of his desk when he left. So, you know, we had to get a commitment from DeSantis when he came in to move the letter to the U.S. Congress to the architect to, you know, remove Kirby Smith's statue and return
mm-hmm.
it back to Florida. And, you know, here in Lake County is where originally that statue, the general statue, was supposed to come, and we had
right.
to fight against that. Because we didn't say destroy it. We just said it wasn't appropriate. This wasn't an appropriate place for it, just like the U.S. Capitol was not appropriate for it. Does that
mm-hmm.
mean we would destroy history? No, because we need to always know where we come from so we don't end up back there again.
Mm-hmm.
But we did not need it here, because where they want to put it here, we had our own history of the Groveland Four and injustices that was done here, and we did not need something else like that
mm-hmm.
impacting or inciting more violence here in this county. So the county commissioners finally decided to reject the delivery of it here and drafted a letter, told the governor, you know, you have to find the approach. It does belong to the state of Florida, so it should be the state of Florida who decides and house it somewhere in a state museum that appropriately tells the history appropriately. But Lake County was not the spot
mm-hmm.
for that. So it is now, if I'm not mistaken, it is now, it has been removed and returned mm-hmm. to the state of Florida. And it is somewhere in the Florida, the State Department, because that comes up under the Department of State to
mm-hmm.
decide where it goes, and they will appropriately place that statue. So, yes, that is, oh,
yeah.
Very, very excited about that.
Yeah. I actually think they're, you know, because we're not talking about destroying these statues. Like you said, they're a part of our history, like it or not. But maybe there should be like a Confederate museum or several Confederate museums where they can be displayed and people can go and if they're interested. And, you know, hear the stories about these particular contributors to our history, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, we there's still a lot of healing that needs to be done in our country, and you know, just some of these old reminders just don't need to be front and center.
Yes, and you know, that bronze statue was not a part of the original deal. Originally, you know, as people began to raise money, they started looking at. And thought that, again, looking out for the people of Florida, where
mm-hmm.
who cannot travel to the U.S. Capitol to see it, the bronze statue was, I think, an additional $150,000 to
mm-hmm.
make sure that piece was here. And that is the thing. When you ask me, what else did I see in that room? Those were the kind of things I saw in that room, Gretchen, was people who was looking out for people. And that spoke volumes, that that committee said, okay, we will raise an additional $150,000. Because remember now, this the fundraising task was not an easy task. And it was not like they ended up with $800,000 like tomorrow. You know, this, it was a very, very hard push to get this kind of money. And for them to just take on the additional task, that spoke volumes of how they felt about Florida citizens.
A couple of things. Number one, it's just interesting to me how the state or how federal government can decide how, what they can afford to spend money on. This is not, in the grand scheme of things with regards to them, this is not necessarily a major investment that could not have been contributed to in some way, with, even if they didn't have to pay the whole amount, you know. But also at the same time, it is a great tribute to the spirit of the people who thought it was a worthwhile investment, not only for those of us that exist now, but for the generations to come. So kudos to those. And, you know, you were talking about the, you know, going through, you know, the process. I think that especially nonprofits need to really be, I guess, schooled in or invested in, or just the average citizen in the community need to be schooled in what the process that it takes to get certain things like this, because there may be other you know, interest that, you know, someone wants to know, well, you know, how do I get the money for this? You know, how do I get the location for this? Who can I bring on board? And I think whatever happened in this particular case needs to, that game plan needs to be, you know, distributed. That it needs to be shared with other people who have worthwhile projects and just don't know, you know, how to go about getting them done, and the labor and the money and the time that it takes to get it done.
So. You know, that is so, you're right on with that, Gretchen, because that is so needed, that we don't understand that the arts and humanities that is up under the State Department, how to appropriately advocate for those fundings also, because like that bronze statue would be here, and it would be a teaching tool. Oh, that was the other thing this commission was able to do. They not only looked at that we should have these statues up, but we need to teach about the meanings of these statues. Too, they advocated for a K through 12 curriculum. That there's a curriculum that is being developed to be taught to go along with this, as well as a documentary that they are putting together to use in conjunction with the curriculum, that they went ahead that other step. So these are the things that, yes, we do need to know how to advocate for the funding, and then what a funding package should look like, not just to have a statute, but to say this is what we're going to do, the curriculum to continue to teach the meaning so that you're not immortalizing a person, but you're dealing with the values, the core values that this person represented, and how legacies that produce are established. Because you're talking about a woman whose thought and vision to educate young ladies that a child should learn to read, a child should be able to write, has manifested into over 14,000 graduates of a private institution, not only women, but she joined with Cookman, who was had an institution for young men, consolidate their resources. And it talked about, she teach how partnerships and coalitions are necessary to move an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talk about advocating, we also have to talk about how you forge partnerships. She joined with Cookman. They put together Bethune-Cookman College that is now a university. How she put together the coalition of, you had all these other organizations, fraternal sororities, church groups. You had all these other groups of women out there that she said, no, less. I'm not saying get rid of your groups, but what I am saying, we need to come together and in one place, a central source, and we're going to call this the National Council, because each of you will have a member sitting on this board, that we talk about what we're doing that is common to all of us and how to get this agenda moved for a better social justice program. And so these are the things that we must learn, like you and I. We met in college. And look at the relationship we have now, the partnerships that we work on different projects with. These are so valuable that that is the next part. So you are so right. We have to learn not only how to advocate, but part of advocating is building relationships that are meaningful, that will sustain. They are able to be sustained, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
you're talking about, you know, she did this back in the 50s, 1950s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you're right on when you say that, mm-hmm. right on.
And that's the thing, you know, you talk about what she did in the 50s, and we tend to get impatient, and we want what we want when we want it, and usually it's now, you know, that we want it. And we've got to learn that some things are immediate and some things take a little time, you know. So, you know, that's what I'm saying in terms of we need to learn how these processes come together because we need to know that some things are going to take years. Some things require steps, and we have to be willing to take those steps and to have some patience. You know,
Most definitely.
So was you talked about curriculum development and whatnot for kids. Are there any other, you know, programs associated with what they did this week that they mentioned?
Just that the curriculum, they're developing the documentary that they're putting together. So if anyone out there who, like my grandmother who's 100 and who would be celebrating her 103rd birthday this weekend on Saturday, who knew or had a chance to interact with her, they are looking for people who can talk about an influence. If your work, if she inspired your work for you to take up a cause, they are looking for those people to participate. So please contact the Mary Bethat Cloud Bethune Statuary Fund Committee. Gretchen, I'll try to send you that link so you can put that up for anyone who wants to contact them, because you may have someone in your family or something that your family was able to tell you about Mary McLeod Bethune. And these are the things they're looking for, her legacy. Her legacy,
okay.
Things that has resulted as a from her last will and testament.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah, because you just don't know. It's not, unfortunately. Well, unfortunately, we are so busy that sometimes we don't get a chance to really sit down and have discussions, you know, about, like I used to try to sit down with my folks and just try to and ask them just different questions. And at one point, I got with my father and was able to just ask him some questions and record conversations. You just never know what comes out of these conversations with, you know, friends and relatives and stuff who, and their different life experiences.
Like you said, you and I have known each other since college. But we've gone apart and we've come back together, and we have whole lives that we don't know about each other that we're, you know, constantly unveiling and sharing, you know.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So it would be good if anyone that had, please do send me those links and any pictures or any information that you have with regards to this so that we can share it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
And you're quite well
sharing. Thanks for going. Thanks for going.
You know,
and supporting that.
God. Thank you.
Yeah. And thank you all for listening. Tomorrow we are supposed to have civil rights attorney Kevin Anderson with us to discuss a couple of things. Monday, I think there's a movement with the Ahmaud Arbery case, and we're going to talk about some other things. The realtor, I think I mentioned, he and his clients that got arrested for showing a house. Real estate can be very dangerous for us because we get arrested for just doing our job. But anyway, apparently there's a lawsuit that's being filed in that case too. So we've got some stuff to talk about tomorrow. So look forward to that. Thank you all for being with us. This has been G's Power Hour. I never had so good entertainment. By the way, please send me a message on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. If there's a particular event or issue that you want us to address, and we'll see, you know, we'll try to get to it as soon as possible. Have a blessed day. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.